Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Of the resistance against everything that has declared war against Americanism and our heritage. This is Radio Free Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. Thank you guys all for tuning in yesterday on KTW and tonight on our live streaming audience. To all of you out there in occupied territory, what a great group of people. What a great group of patriots. I just so much appreciate you guys, all of you. Thank you. We've got a lot of stuff to cover, and I'm looking forward to this. Some local news, some local developments you need to know about. I started to talk about this yesterday. It's worse than you might think. The assault on your local communities. Remember what I said about the presidential elections? And everybody's like, oh, we got to get Trump. We got to beat Hillary. Yes, we got to beat Hillary. The damage she could have done is catastrophic. That's a no-brainer. But do not wipe your hands clean thinking you've done your duty by voting for Trump. The battle is going to be at the local level. It is going to require all of you to tirelessly fight for our American heritage, our values, and liberty. To restore that which made America great. Because they are targeting your local communities. And this is what I've always said. It's local. Local communities is where you are going to win this fight. So I've got details on that. More stuff we're going to be covering in a little while. But first, let's get to the news. Before that. Segment 3 and 4, also, I will be reviewing CBS's show, Hunted. The things they did well, the mistakes they made, and lessons learned from those. And I've been talking to some people, and they asked, I think what I'm going to do is actually write, because I do more podcasts than I do actual writing articles, but I'm going to write a series of articles that should go into the Underground series, Going Underground, which will be companion articles, which will go into the Underground Project. And that is, if you had to go underground, how would you do it? If you had to put somebody underground, if you were a fugitive, how would you do that? And of course, why do I do this? Because of two reasons. First of all, there are Christians in the underground church around the world that are benefiting from this and actually implementing some of the things that that are covered in the Underground Project. And the other thing is a very hostile adversary that is growing up in our country, which will declare full-on war against God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots at some point in the future. We got to see that during the previous administration. Fortunately, barriers were thrown up to slow down that progress. But they're not giving up. Matter of fact, they are ramping up. So is it possible that even in America, whether we're invaded by another country or, God forbid, even with our own system turns against conservative Christian patriots, right-wing patriots, declaring us to be the terrorists and the enemy, and they start rounding people up. That sounds pretty far-fetched, but not in the light of history. In the light of history, you would say there's no other way it could turn out if history is any measure of what the future could look like. So what we're trying to do is shorten the learning curve for those who have gone before us and did have to go underground. hiding, whether you are in China in a church, if you are a Jew hiding the Nazis, the Gestapo that were coming to round you up, and a family is hiding you underground, well, we want to shorten that learning curve and also take into consideration the modern technology that could be used against us, very powerful tools, and also how you can use technology to aid those in the underground. So that's why we do it. Someone was saying, Trump. We have to caution people about Trump worship, the Trump cult following, and possibly that he's playing into the hands of the globalists by creating all this division. Look at all the division that Trump has caused, and we're all looking at him drinking the Kool-Aid, the Trump aid. And I got thinking about this. I think you're thinking about this wrong. Yes, the globalists and the leftists, the enemies of America, will use and seize any opportunity that rises, including the division that's taking place in America. But Trump is not responsible for the division in America. The enemies of America, the dividers, the accusers, the destroyers of American values, those are the people who have caused division. In fact, there's only been no division because there has not been significant pushback. There is no division to a left-wing agenda if no one opposes them. So they come along and create a new set of rules and say, this is the way the world should function now. And as long as you nod and go along with them, there's no division. But as soon as you say, wait, hold on a minute, that's clashing with my traditional values. Whoa, what? You're causing division by not getting on board. And Trump, he's actually protecting the border. Well, he's just causing division. He's actually protecting America from unvetted immigrants and refugees coming from nations that are using the immigration system and refugee system to import fighters who have sworn to destroy us. He's actually taking measures to bring jobs back to America. He's countering all of the leftist agenda and threatening to disrupt their globalist system and the fast-tracking of the destruction of America. And now he, even on the right, from those on the right, are accusing him of the division that he's caused by just simply doing all of the things that we conservative patriots have been longing for a president to do for, well, since Reagan. And even Reagan did some horrid things and some things we just simply disapprove of. He was a great president, but he wasn't perfect. He did a lot of things wrong, from firearms import bans to the first go around of refugee or immigrant, what do you call it? Just let them in. I can't think of the word right now. Amnesty. And Trump's not playing any part of that. He's doing what all of us are saying, why won't somebody do XYZ? He's doing it. The division is coming from the haters on the left who want to destroy America. All right, so much for my opening monologue. Now let's get into the news and commentary brought to you by Glenn Tate, the author, and the 299 Days book series about the collapse and the rebuilding. Check it out at 299days.com. International news, out of Fox News, the Venezuelan food crisis, according to this report, has gotten so bad that people are apparently killing pink flamingos and other protected animals in order to stave off hunger. I read that headline to Mrs. Schmidt, and she goes, aw. I couldn't believe my ears. I said, what? You don't say aw when you eat a hamburger. And she just looked at me funny, and she goes, no. I mean, I'm sad that those people are at the point where they have to resort to stuff like that to stay alive. I'm like, oh, okay, you've redeemed yourself. All right. So, yeah, I thought she was, oh, the pink flamingos and anteaters. No, 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 no. Her heart's in the right place. So, yeah, isn't that amazing? And Venezuela is actually leading the number of U.S. asylum requests as the crisis deepens there in Venezuela. They are trying to get somewhere to get away, to escape socialism. I think that is a righteous asylum situation. There are actually actions in our government looking, saying that they are going to intervene with this created food crisis in Venezuela. So that could be really interesting to watch that unfold. We'll dig into that a little bit deeper this week, and we'll talk about that next weekend, hopefully. Over in Germany, now, over the last 2 years, Germany has blown its borders wide open, much to the dismay of its millions of conservative citizens who believe in nationalism and that know that they understand nationalism is not a bad thing, it's not a bad word. They want to preserve German culture. Just like any nationalistic patriot wants to preserve the culture of its country that that person loves so much. Well, Merkel has been on a rampage forcing the Muslimification of Germany for the last 2 years, despite all of the pushback. Well, I think it's finally gotten to her. Now, the headline, Merkel will pay migrants millions to leave Germany. You heard that right. Chancellor Angela Merkel is setting aside 90 million euros in taxpayers' money to create a fund which will pay migrants to withdraw their asylum applications and leave Germany voluntarily. They have fully come full circle on the insanity ride. They will form part of a 16-point plan to speed up the removal of rejected asylum seekers after the Tunisian migrant Anis Amri murdered a Polish lorry driver, hijacked his vehicle, drove it into a Christmas market in Berlin while awaiting deportation. So now we're going to pay the terrorists to leave. What? So they can what? Take the money and run and then sneak back in? This is just what could possibly go wrong, right? National news. A new liberal Tea Party is forming. Can it last without turning against the Democrats? Okay, this is really interesting. They're putting the Tea Party label on the liberal movement, which is basically affecting local politics. But only it's much more unruly and disrespectful and rude and disruptive and divisive. But they're claiming that they're adopting Tea Party tactics to affect change in local communities. But see, the Tea Party was the sleeping giant, the majority of the people that woke up and said, enough is enough. Now you got the liberals, which are the minority, trying to give the appearance that there's this major movement. Well, it is actually a major movement. It is a nationwide movement, which I'm going to talk about tonight. With international funding sources. But one example is right here in the American Redoubt. And I talked about this yesterday in case you missed the show. In the Coeur d'Alene Press, there was an article. Group gives Trump taste of Obama's old medicine. A group of North Idaho residents is using a familiar political strategy against President Donald Trump. It's the Tea Party's own playbook. The group Indivisible North Idaho is making its presence known by attending town hall meetings and gathering at local offices of congressional members. See, they're not just going there to advocate, though. I spoke with a woman who recently attended a town hall meeting with the lawmakers. Of course, they're Republican because all the lawmakers in Idaho are Republican. I think almost all of them. It is the reddest state in the nation. Kootenai County over there is the reddest county in the reddest state. So they're giving a town hall meeting, a state of the state kind of briefing on legislation and issues that are going on. And strategically, people are piping up loudmouth and boisterous, screaming out, what about our health care? We care about women. We care about women's rights, just randomly, just barking. And pretty soon they're all screaming and yelling. Whatever it is, their flavor, whatever the script that they were given, with the intent on disrupting the event, is to show we're here, we're powerful, we have a voice, and there's nothing you can do about it. And of course, everybody's sitting around looking. I don't know if anybody told them to sit down and shut up. But that's the other thing too. Somebody was saying, why would we put up with it? I'm like, what are you going to do about it? Really? When you're sitting there and somebody's saying this legislative issue, we're trying to open up public lands for, you know, sports, fishing, sportsman stuff. And somebody jumps up and says, save our health care. We care about women. We demand women's rights. Okay, random, unrelated, just barking out whatever's on their agenda. So you shouldn't put up with it, but what are you going to do about it? You could bark back at her, and still they win because they completely derail the whole agenda, the discussion. You never get to hear about what the senator or whatever the congressman or the legislator was trying to talk about to give you updates about what's happening in your capital. So next thing you know, what? Everybody's screaming at each other? I do believe that that might be effective, actually, if you've got 150 people there and 120 people all stand up in unison and tell the people to shut their holes and get out if they're not going to be respectful and sit there and listen, because they're not doing anything productive, just being disruptive. That's all they're supposed to do, is just be disruptive and make their presence known. That's it. But see, they want things to escalate. These are the troublemakers. These are the ones that are so belligerent, and they push the buttons so that somebody will lay hands on them. So then they can engage in lawfare. It's warfare through the legal system to destroy people, to make themselves look like victims. This is a very difficult thing where we've allowed this to take place, because the police are going to be there to protect whom? Protect the peace? To keep things civil? No. They're going to be there to arrest you for grabbing somebody that should be grabbed by the collar and thrown out on their nose for being so rude and disruptive and disrespectful. But that's just what they want. So I recommend that in each community, you better start organizing. You better make sure that there's a large representation of people that hold your values. You better show up to these events to shout them down, to completely shout them down. Might be good to give one of those little air horns, the wah, right in your face, every time they try to speak. We want our wah. It works both ways. These are the dirty gutter tactics that they're using. They're not going to respond to politeness. In the American Redoubt news, more news. Oh, this was funny. Sheriff Ozzy Knezovich goes to the Spokane Arena and told to disarm before he enters the Spokane Arena. They have a no weapons rule that was apparently enacted just a few months ago. And the sheriff, Knezovich, which has turned out to be a rhino, really, he shows up at the arena and they said, you're going to have to take your gun out to your car or, you know, remove it, do something, but you can't come in here with it. He says, I'm on duty. I said, well, it doesn't matter. So he says, they disarmed me at the door. I'm on duty. I had to go put my gun in the car. He said he didn't have time to argue because he had to get inside. It was just a new level of insanity, he says. Now, this is the guy who has brought in the Southern Poverty Law Center as subject matter experts to train his department on the emerging threats. What do you think they're talking about? They're talking about right-wing extremism. They don't mention Black Lives Matter. They don't talk about the terrorist threat. They talk about right-wing extremists, Christian, right-wing Christian extremists. And this is also the same sheriff who's one of his deputies explained in an interview why they have an MRAP, and mine-resistant armored vehicle, on display at the mall. And he says, we've got a lot of constitutionalists in this area. You guys remember that when I covered that last year? Why would a sheriff deputy say that? Because that's what he was taught. And who was he taught this by? Probably the Southern Poverty Law Center, who was brought in as subject matter experts by this Sheriff Knezevich to train people about the Constitution, about the constitutionalists being a national security threat. So when he himself is being disarmed, this is what he says. It was just a new level of insanity. On-duty police officers do not get disarmed. Really? On-duty police officers? Oh, he's a sheriff in a suit. And this is what they said. Hey, we don't know if he's off-duty or on-duty. He's wearing a suit. He's got the little lapel pin badge. Why is it that only police officers have to be disarmed? Or why is he arguing that police officers should be armed? And what about a citizen? He says, the spokesman there says, if they're not in uniform, how do we know that they're on duty? Knezevich said he was wearing a suit with a badge on the lapel. The security staff recognized him and were apologetic. But listen to this statement by this sheriff, who, in response to being disarmed, to have his ability to remove his means of self-defense before entering this building, he said, this is atrocious. Every year I go there, every year I've been armed. Sheriff, how does it feel? How does it feel? There is no constitutional guarantee that a police officer can be armed where a citizen cannot. What you're trying to do is create an exception for yourself because you're happy with the rule for the peaceful, lawful citizen having the means to defend themselves. You're fine with them being disarmed because you have no problem with that. It's that you're special because you're a police officer. Who's going to protect that couple who have to walk out of that arena and a half a mile to their car in a parking lot at night? Once they leave there, they're on their own. But you want a helpful hint, tip? They have metal detectors at the arena that you have to walk through, just like TSA. But you take out your keys, your knife, your purse, your whatever. Not your knife. Well, I had a pocket knife. You take out your keys, you take metal objects, your wallet, the purse, and you hand it around to them on the other side. Well, I'm just saying hypothetically, because Mrs. Schmidt and I went to a hockey game a week and a half ago, or a little over a week ago. I'm just saying that hypothetically, the woman who carries a small, compact, semi-automatic handgun for self-defense in a small, compact compartment in her purse, which isn't passed through an X-ray machine, could theoretically actually allow you to be armed. Because what I saw was the women passing the purses around the side, and then you walk through the metal detector and they hand the purse to you with a smile and you go and watch your event. So I'm just saying, there could be ways around it if self-defense is really important to you. All right, that's enough of segment one. Fox 519 with the eye in the economy, and then we'll be right back. Don't go away.
It's a simple economic truth, really. The less money that flows through an economy means less business growth, lower wages, stagnant growth even. And now the Fred economic indicators and the headlines are all screaming it. Hello everyone, Fox 519 here. This week, while everyone was focused on the immigration battle, or the battle that wasn't, major headlines erupted in the financial world that should have everyone becoming very concerned about the continued economic state of our union and our world. We're going to talk about a few tonight and hopefully continue to spread the word about the coming economic collapse. So stay tuned as I bring you the financial news and commentary that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt. Hello, everyone. Fox 519 here. Over the past year, you have heard me tell you about the Redoubt's most amazing coffee, Sisters Coffee Roasters. And I have to tell you, I've been drinking the San Marcos Supremo, and it's amazing. I'm not blowing hot air here, fellow Redoubters. This is quite possibly the most amazing coffee I've ever drank. It smells amazing. It tastes even better. You've got to go out and order a couple of bags right away. It will change your coffee drinking forever. So log on right after the show tonight and go to www.sisterscoffeeroasters.us and order your bags of San Marcos Supreme right away. You will know, too, what it is like to experience coffee the way it was meant to be tasted. That's www.sisterscoffeeroasters.us. Remember, that's two great ladies and an amazing coffee roast. www.sisterscoffeeroasters.us. Well, welcome back. And again, thank you to sisterscoffeeroasters.us for their continued support. Folks, again, they have some amazing coffee beans, and you need to support them. Everyone, I'm telling you, we need to support local patriot businesses, and getting your beans from sisterscoffeeroasters.us or any other products that are advertised by patriot radio stations, please absolutely support those folks. They deserve it. Again, sisterscoffeeroasters.us. Okay, so let's start off with a few headlines tonight and evaluate those. Jim Rogers, we're about to have the worst economic problems of a lifetime. A lot of people will disappear. Recession 2017. These things never happen when an economy is in decline, or do they? Here's another one. The coming class wars. Here's one. Sirpas warns IMF. Schnabel, stop playing with fire over Greek debt. And this last one. Midwest farm bubbles continues to collapse as farm incomes expected to crash in 2017. Well, what do they all have in common? Well, every one of them is saying we all know to be the truth. Everything is about to come to an ugly head. And soon. Yes, for the past 4 years, I have been saying it's coming. That saying. It starts to wear out its welcome, doesn't it? I would agree. We can get fatigued after hearing me say this time and time and time again. But here is the point. It's coming. And there's no distraction or person that can save us from economic fate. Let's go to the numbers. Fred, as you know, to be the Federal Reserve economic data, put out their month's report, and yes, it showed that the employment numbers gained, but by minimal amounts, and it actually showed that we are seeing some dramatic signs pointing towards another great recession. So, what is that indicator? Well, it starts with the weekly hours worked by workers. When an economy shifts into recession mode, employers tend to start cutting back on hours, and that is happening right now all across the country. In fact, we just witnessed the largest percentage decline in average weekly hours since the recession of 2008, and now mainstream and alternative analysts are saying that we could be in the very early throes of another terrible great recession. Now, some mainstreams are arguing that that's due to the fact that Christmas is over and that those hours are now being cut back as retailers are seeing that their sales didn't meet the actual records. That's possible. But they're also cutting back on hours worked. That's another significant fact. What factors do you think are contributing to this? Well, significantly lower tax receipts indicate the U.S. is now in a recession, and we'll see more info on that as we get past tax time. Gross private domestic investment indicates that we're in a recession. Retailers are showing the U.S. consumer is tapped out, even as Amazon missed their Q4 core forecast in December of last year. Another economic bellwether, UPS, dramatically lowered their 2017 forecast. Yes, UPS, a private shipper, showed the dramatic freight lowering, supporting that shipping has been declining over the past year. But out of all the headlines tonight that I think that have shocked me the most, the one disturbed me the most is Midwest farm bubbles continue to collapse as farm income expected to crash in 2017. That one made me slow down and read every single word. The opening passage in the article reads, quote, in its first forecast of 2017, the USDA sees real farm cash receipts down 14% versus 2015 and 36% from the previous high set in 2012 as farm debt continues to soar and leverages surge to all-time highs. As the Wall Street Journal notes, a deadly combination of rising input costs, lower grain prices, a strong dollar, and an excessive leverage will likely force many Midwest farmers out of business in 2017. My fellow patriots, when farms fail, that is a huge indicator that the backbone of the American economy and spirit has broke, and things are getting ready to fail on a level that has never been seen before. Jim Rogers was right. Grain farms are the backbone of the American heartland, and now that industry is severely threatened. Costs for seeds, fertilizer, equipment climb so high, and grain prices drop so low that farmers are losing significant amounts on each acre they farm. So much so that farmers are actually cutting back on their winter wheat, and now reports are showing that U.S. farmers have sowed the fewest acres of winter wheat this season in more than a century. Huge indicator of economic trouble to come. So how bad will it get? Well, real farm incomes in 2017 are expected to sink below 2010 levels, which represent a 36% decline and the recent peak of 14% decline since 2015. So we have gone up and up and up and up. And those of you who were in the banking industry in 2008, you saw the price per bushel peak way over what it should have. Now that is starting to rapidly decline again. Recession is here, everyone, and recession leads to depression, which leads to failure. This is why 2017 needs to be the year that you focus on making sure that you have the means to produce your own food and energy, because when wheat goes away, farms fail. And when everything goes away, then this is what it looks like. No farms, no food. No food, no workers. No workers, no spending in an economy, which leads to severe depression like we saw in the 1930s. It is a mathematical certainty. It is time to focus on what you know to be true. Ignore the noise of the press, don't get caught up in the distractions, and stay focused, everyone. Thanks again for listening, and for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
Thank you, Fox 519. Once again, this is segment two, brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. It is a Patriot-owned business helping like-minded citizens get strategically relocated to the northernmost part of the panhandle of North Idaho. Give them a call today if that's where you got your sights set. SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. My email address is johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. And that's also our website. If you're listening to a downloaded audio copy or a CD that somebody gave you and maybe this is new to you, go to RadioFreeRedoubt.com to learn more. This is a really good segment for our right-wing mainstreamists. Someone sent me today a picture, a screenshot from their phone, from Facebook. This Facebook posting was picture was taken today at a Spokane Fire Department entrance. On the glass, a giant poster. This poster says, "Hate has no business here. Hashtag hate has no biz here." This is a campaign, a nationwide campaign I'm going to talk about here in just a little bit. The poster says, "We respect women. We value black lives. We stand with our LGBT community members. We stand with immigrants and refugees and people of all faiths. We stand with our community. All are welcome here." And then there's a big heart with rainbow colors. You know what the rainbow is, right? What that symbolizes? That was God's covenant that he would never destroy the earth by water again when he set the rainbow up in the sky. That was a covenant that God made with all of humanity. It's a sacred thing for me and many of you. But just like their lifestyle, they have perverted this symbol of God's covenant with us to promote sexual deviancy. So all are welcome here. And underneath there's 10 different languages to really emphasize multiculturalism. And this was posted by the City of Spokane Fire Department, their Facebook page. Obviously, a pencil pushing administrator who's, who knows, maybe not a firefighter, not likely. It's mostly probably administrator or one who used to be a firefighter and now is administrative level dealing with the politics side of things. And this is their posting. Underneath the picture, City of Spokane Fire Department, hate has no place in our community, and that includes our fire stations and all SFD facilities. Now, if you look in the poster, I'm going to post this, in the lower left-hand corner, it's really hard to see. But we had our research team track this down. I was like, what is that logo there? I mean, because see on the right, Spokane Fire Department, what is that on the left? It's got to be Human Rights Gestapo or something. But no, it is Main Street Alliance. Main Street Alliance. I'm going to come back to that. Main Street, your street, citizens. I want to go through this poster, though, because I can see some hypocrisy here. Let's go through it. We respect women. And I'm thinking, you have the market on women loving? As if to imply that anyone who doesn't agree with your leftist anti-American agenda, that we don't love and respect women? How arrogant. I won't be manipulated by your bullying tactics. What you mean is you endorse and you want us to endorse. You want to force the firefighters to give the appearance of endorsing the latest resurgence of the militant, men-hating, family-hating, foul-mouthed, undignified, loud-mouthed, boisterous hate group, which created a pink hat as their symbol and naming their hats using about the most undignified term you could for your reproductive body part, and stripping down and exposing their blubber to make their point as they lecture the rest of us on human dignity and how we should respect them while they act utterly unrespectable. While those of us on the right do respect our women, we don't need to be preached at by leftists to do it. They don't even know what the term respect means. What's the next line? We respect black lives. Do you really? Because I think what you really mean is that you respect only certain kinds of blacks and only to help you advance your leftist agenda. I see you on the left attacking conservative blacks with some of the most hateful, vitriolic speech and attitudes, specifically harassing them because of the color of their skin, with statements that I've seen out there on the left, such as, you're black and you support Trump. You're a traitor. You piece of garbage. You should be killed. Literally, I've heard these statements. Whoa, you should be killed because you voted for Trump and you're black? Not because he's conservative, but because he's a conservative who is black. That escalates. That takes things to the next level where you're deserving of death. That is what makes them deserving of death. And is that not a hate crime? And if you truly respect black lives, you hypocrites, why do you support the aggressive marketing and public funding of Planned Parenthood in black communities? Your lies of women's rights to choose has led to more deaths of black people than any and all other causes of death, probably combined. Liars. Next line. We stand with our LGBT community members. Great. You stand with sexual deviants. Thank you for identifying yourselves. How long before you add the pedophile community to your posters too? And I can't help but to wonder how the firefighters in Spokane feel about your poster of lies, deceit, and promotion of sickness. Especially since the overwhelming majority of your firefighters are white, conservative, Christian men. Many of whom are patriots. Of course, that's probably why the fire department makes such a good target for your aggressive leftist messaging campaign. Let me look at the other one. What's this? Oh, we stand with immigrants and refugees and people of all faiths. Do you really? Because I remember the Christian Slavic immigrant community reporting attacks because they refused to endorse the homosexual campaign you were shoving on them through the Human Rights Gestapo and their minions in the interfaith community, where children are being harassed because they wouldn't endorse the LGBT community and standing on their Christian faith. Yelling, stop the hate. Look at the haters. Let's hate on the haters. We all stand with immigrants, they say. Most of us are all immigrants ourselves, or the children or the grandchildren of immigrants, like me. Immigrants who came here legally and came here to leave their other country behind and to become Americans. Not to come here illegally, participate in anti-American street demonstrations, waving Mexican and Palestinian flags, chanting F America. Those are not immigrants. Those are invaders, saboteurs, subverters, and criminal aliens who have come here to undermine all the foundations of America's heritage and traditional way of life. We stand with refugees too, as conservatives, including the Christian refugees who have been among the most oppressed people around the world and who the previous administration, led by that former president who will not be named, has shoved to the back of the line over and over to make way for the Muslims who have been given preferential treatment, who are carrying out a proven and evidenced plan of changing the demographics of America and ultimately transforming it into an American caliphate. The evidence is undeniable. Refugees, especially those who do not wish to assimilate and become Americans, should be placed in temporary safe zones in their regions among other Muslims and culturally similar environments until their homes can be restabilized and they return to their homes. That's how you treat refugees. It's fair. It's much more humane than ripping them from their home culture and transplanting them in a non-Muslim culture. And it's fair and humane to the citizens of the country that would otherwise experience more negative side effects and impacts on their communities and their nations than a positive outcome by having completely polar opposite cultures thrust upon their communities. Unless, of course, you're looking at it through the lens of a jihadist who is trying to carry out al-Hijra and cultural jihad, then it's a great idea. So this poster was promoted by Main Street Alliance, warm and fuzzy local grassroots movement of people that care about Main Street, you and me, right? Wrong. There's a bunch of information out here on this. I just pulled one up. Let's like do an internet search. Bam, there it is. DuckDuckGo, Main Street Alliance, Soros, because I heard a little rumor. Well, turns out to be true. These leaked Soros documents, this posted on investmentwatchblog.com. I'm going to post it in our highlights and resources posting. Soros.dcleaks.com. And then it's got slash view, question mark, equal sign. Okay, I'll post the link. From their 2011 funding docket, this is how they counter everything we try. The rise of the right-wing populism through the Tea Party and the need to counter it. We fund large-scale congregational-based organizing networks like the well-regarded PICO organizing network with 1 million families in its membership across 150 cities and 1,000 congregations nationwide that reach beyond the choir of self-identified progressives and into the rural and suburban communities, including low- and moderate-income white constituencies. Via the Main Street Alliance, we fund small business alliances that bring business owners into open society advocacy that is funded by Soros, according to all of these, what is this, DC Leaks, Open Society Foundation's documents. Look like Obama has been running every play in their playbook. He is merely one of their actors performing a script written by Soros, and here's all the evidence to it. That's just one little snippet from that article. Main Street Alliance. they're coming to Main Street. And you know what? I'm not saying you should do this because it might be a crime, but every time I hear about somebody ripping one of those ridiculous, stupid posters off the front of a building, I'm just going to smile to myself. Don't they talk about the necessity of civil disobedience sometimes? Just a thought. What does it mean to be an American? Pauly01, code name, one each. Thank you for posting this again. The responsibilities of American citizenship. It's a video from 1955. Just about a decade before we threw our innocence away forever. Understanding propaganda techniques and the responsibilities of American citizenship. That is a posting now at RadioFreeRedoubt.com. I want to encourage you to go and watch that all the way through. It'll be worth your time. All right, we're going to come back in segment three, and we are going to talk about Hunted, the CBS series, episode two, when we come back.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. As many of you know, I, along with many of my Republican colleagues, introduced a series of state sovereignty bills. They would opt Washington State out of a nationalized healthcare system and also out of a national cap-and-trade program and protect the right to bear arms through the Washington Firearms Freedom Act. The Democrat response? The Speaker pro tem of the House claimed Republicans wanted to, quote, lead Washington out of the Union. Local Senator Chris Maher even inferred to a group of constituents that Republicans are racist. The Spokesman Review said that discussing the constitutional boundaries of the federal government is a waste of time. Really. The problem is, we haven't been talking enough about the Constitution and the basic principles that made this nation great. State sovereignty is, in fact, about keeping the nation together and fighting Democrat attempts to destroy small business through bigger government. But the bigger point here is that the president and Democrats like Senator Chris Maher have created a cloud of fear that is overshadowing this country. Businesses are afraid to build new factories, buy new equipment, or hire new employees because of the uncertainty surrounding what new regulations, mandates, and taxes are going to come out of Washington, D.C. and Olympia. The people are afraid of proposed assault weapons ban and the rationing of ammunition or being labeled traitors for believing what the Constitution says or believing that it means what it says. Fear and anxiety are everywhere. State sovereignty, on the other hand, is about hope. If the federal government would just get out of the way and stay in its constitutionally designed box, we would be free to fix our own problems right here in Washington. If we need to fear anything, it's the notion that more socialism is going to solve our economic crisis. Instead, we should look to 2 Chronicles 7:14 for the answer. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening.
Some of you may be asking yourselves, why should we be bothered with developing citizenship responsibilities? Well, there are many reasons. One of the primary reasons is that great principles do not live from generation to generation without being nurtured, without being kept vigorously alive. Unless we understand and work effectively for the principles upon which our American way of life is founded, the structure will crumble, and our heritage of freedom will perish. Our freedom stems from the fact that America is a republic, founded on a constitution, and dedicated to the principle of democracy and the worth of the individual. The people rule. Another primary reason for the development of citizenship responsibility is that we are living in an era marked by the growth of socialism. To a substantial degree, in one form or another, socialism has spread the shadow of human regimentation over most of the nations of the earth, and the shadow is encroaching upon our own liberty.
Welcome back to Radio Free Redoubt. This segment is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design.com, with designs to keep you safe and help you thrive. Make the most use out of your property. And give them a call today and go and check them out at strategiclandscapedesign.com. Great folks. Now, in this segment, I wanted to talk about this series, which I'm going to be doing a review on. And there will probably be one to two segments each week. So this week, I'm going to talk about episode 2. There's 4 episodes out all total. But I started doing this last week with episode 1. So this is episode 2. And we are tracking, go back and listen to that, by the way, and get caught up. But you can actually go and you'll learn all about what it is if you just go to CBS, Hunted. And you can watch all 4 of those. And this coming week, there'll be a 5th one that will come out. There are 9 couples, 18 people in total. And some of them are husband and wife teams. Some of them are like 2 best friends, 2 girls that are, you know, best friends. And they're on the run. And they're using state-of-the-art technology to track these people down. And the reason why we're covering this is because in the Underground series that we did, we talked about how to go underground if you needed to hide, say, your home group, home church pastor who had a warrant out for his arrest for, you know, leading an unofficial, illegal Bible study. So how would you go about doing that, especially in a grid-up situation where all the technology and databases and everything are in place? Well, this is a really cool show, Hunted. And we're going to pick up where we left off. So we've got these couples. I'm going to break this down. There's a new group, new team, 2-guy team, Lee and Hilmar, best friends, who went underground. They're both out of Atlanta, Georgia. And let me just go through the high points here, the goods, the bads, and some of the ugly. All right, first thing they did is they said, okay, once they get tapped on the shoulder, you are now on the run. You've got 1 hour before the hunter teams show up. So they say, okay, first thing we're going to do, we're going to pile all of our electronics in a pile. We're going to pull out all the SIM cards, sanitize all the electronics, and go. Now, I don't know if there's a rule that we're not aware of that they had to leave that behind, but I wouldn't pile all that up. They left it with a letter. Hey, see you in 28 days. That's how long they have to survive underground to stand a chance of winning the $250,000. All right. It is not a good idea to taunt your adversaries because they already have big enough egos and they have huge egos. But you don't want to taunt them where it becomes personal, where this person eats, sleeps, breathes. Not just chasing a fugitive or one of 18 fugitives, it's you. He wants you bad. The guy will miss sleep. He will miss meals. He will do. You don't want somebody totally committing themselves that bad. And you can do that real quick by taunting them. Okay. The other thing too, don't leave your electronics behind. Take all you can with you if you can. But don't deliberately stack them up in a pile because what you think are useless are actually useful even if you do pull out the SIM card, although that's helpful. At least you're not handing stuff to them on a silver platter, but most all your activity is in the cloud and on servers with your internet service provider, with your email provider, with your phone service. All of that's stored and retrievable. But contacts, personal information, things like that on the SIM card, you've at least thrown a major speed bump in front of them. Okay, now the one guy, Lee, owns a safe house business. Lee Wolf Wilson. And this guy is the right kind of person to do this type of reality show because he owns a safe house business, he has to be 5 steps ahead of those who play his rooms, like he says. And he also says, I love my wife. I love my children. And he also reveals his pregnant wife is going to find out whether it's a boy or a girl while he's gone in hiding. That's going to weigh on him. That is an exploitable piece that the pursuers could use to try to make him break, crack, weaken, or make mistakes. So anyway, just something you're going to have to mentally prepare yourself for if you got family, children, things like that, that you're going to have to do some mental preparation, not just for you, but also for your spouse. This is why it's so critically important that your spouse is supportive of you, your ministry, your calling, whatever it is. Just like I'm looking at a poster right here, right now. Each week I get Voices of the Martyrs, a publication, because we, Mrs. Schmidt and I, support them financially. And we just send a little bit in each month, you know, what we can, when we can. But this month's publication has what's called Prisoners for Christ. These are people that are standing trial for their faith, for proselytizing, for smuggling Bibles, for blaspheming Islam because they told a Muslim about Jesus. So these people are in prison. They've got families. All right, they've got wives and children, some of them. How much harder would it be if your wife was like, you shouldn't be doing this. You're placing our family in harm's way, and you know, you're just thinking of yourself, blah, 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 blah. That is going to tear you down underground or in captivity. You've got to have the spousal support. Some of these are women who have husbands. So you've got to know that the other person's keeping the faith with you and vice versa. So anyway, he says, I'm going to do something that takes them completely the other way and surprise them, this guy Lee says. So he does. All right, now, his buddy Hilmar prides himself on building community relationships. He says, I have an extensive support network to get us through. Okay, as long as it's kept intact and as long as you did your groundwork correctly. But if you have an extensive support network, chances are there's all kinds of digital trails leading to them. If you haven't spent a considerable amount of time building this network and increasing digital distance between them and you. So let's go on here. The hunter team deploys to their apartment. They do this search and they find all these sanitized electronic devices. See you in 28 days. Then they move to a safe house. So in the safe house, Lee and Hilmar create a fake new Yahoo email account. This is something I want to address. You guys have heard about this, where you set up a fake account, a Yahoo account that you never use. Okay, and then all your friends will log in and you do an email and save it in draft. It never gets sent. So he said it's virtually untraceable. But I want to caution you on something. First of all, if you are going to use something like that, you at all better be using VPNs. Because this is what's going to happen. Because terrorists have been using this technique, right? And our intelligence community is aware of it. So they also have Yahoo, Google, Gmail, Outlook, Microsoft, and all these other people that are basically in bed with the feds. So they have algorithms that can look for accounts that have been set up recently. Any accounts that have been set up in the last week. They can also see that this account, BillyBobUSA@Yahoo.com, has been accessed about 30 times in the last 24 hours from about 8 different IP addresses, and not one piece of mail has been sent or received from the same email. You see the red flag going up? So they contact Department of Homeland Security or FBI or whoever, and they say, we've got a suspicious account here, a dead drop. It's probably going to be an email dead drop. And so then they can break in and they can read all the email, because where is it stored? On your computer? Nope. On their server. This is why end-to-end encryption is critical. If you're going to do something like this, the best thing that you could do, if you absolutely had to do this way, then every single person must have a VPN and everyone should have PGP encryption. You can do this through PGP for USB. You download it, have it on a flash drive. Everybody's keys are on it. You type up a letter, you hit encrypt, and then you copy and paste that into your letter and save it as a draft on yahoo.com on their web server, and you disconnect. Now, the next best way, until you start getting into the darknet and Tor and things like that, would be to have a numbers relay page. And there's several of them on the internet. You can just do an internet search for numbers relay page, where you can just copy and paste letters, messages to each other anonymously if you're using a VPN. Best thing to do actually to use Tails, which we talked about already in the Underground series. But caution, when you try to outsmart yourself. The next thing he did was he decided to send out a letter through the USPS, U.S. Postal Service, to his entire support network with special instructions and the password to access this fake Yahoo Mail account. When he sent this U.S. Postal Service, something happened. He sent it to all of his circle of trust. Now, based on a search for emails to Lee's wife, what they did was they created, well, they're all to his circle of support using the same return address, 10 different people. No big deal. It's paper. It's an envelope. It's going through the postal service, right? Well, there's a little thing that I covered a couple times in the past, and this came to light here. It's called MICT. It's the Mail Isolation Control and Tracking Program with the U.S. Postal Service. It takes a digital image of every single piece of mail that goes through the Postal Service, front and back, reportedly. But it definitely takes a picture of the address and return address, and it stores it in a retrievable database. Okay, MICT, M-I-C-T, Mail Isolation Control and Tracking. So in this type of a situation, the best thing you could have done would probably be to, well, not use this, use powerful encryption and anonymizing tools in a grid up environment, hiding in plain sight. But if you're going to use this, don't use the same email address or the return address. Use a fictitious return address. But even then, I want to caution you. What they've done through their circle of trust or circle of relational influence, they put a search out there for any and all contact with names, and now all these names are showing up as being flagged at the U.S. Postal Service through this MICT program, that these guys are all simultaneously getting mail at the same day from the same return address. That created a red flag. So what they did was they contacted the wife and said, "We know about the mail." And he says, "I'm baffled. We sent like 10 letters out from the same return address, apparently." Now, fortunately, he was smart enough to realize, look, all of those people's contacts are now compromised. And he also realized we just lost most of our support network because now they're all compromised. And my other question is, why do you have so many in your support network? Every single person, each additional person you add to your underground support network is another potential point of failure. You should have one or two people who can reach one or two people who can each reach one or two people. That's how you have 30 people in your support network, but you don't contact 30 people. You don't need to. And then you also use covert messaging techniques and internet dead drops and numbers relay pages and encryption and anonymity and Tails and Tor. And we're talking serious. This is a game. It's a 28-day game to win $250,000. When it's over, they can go, "Oh, shucks, they caught me. Oh, that $250,000 would have been great." But in a real-world situation, right now, there are people in the underground with authorities using all the resources to bear to track them down. So you use this game as a learning tool, but real world, this is no game. So they did a good job. He's thinking outside the box, but it's what you don't know which is going to nail you. One thing cool they did with the letters that he mailed out, when you log into this Yahoo account, they require that everyone authenticated by exchanging a phrase that only those two people would know. Like, where did we go on, you know, where did we go for Father's Day? We went to Outback Steakhouse. And what did you order? Oh, I insisted on the bloomin' onion, right? So that's something we remember that nobody else would know. So anyway, they did a good job with that authenticating. But once again, it's what they didn't know. It's the little details that dimed them out, sold them out. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Angela and Michelle and another new couple that was added. Right here at the Voice of the American Redoubt.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. Every day, I sell homes and land to bankers, doctors, economists, scientists, military folks, and more for good reason. They all know what's coming and want a secure safety and peace for their family. They've done the research and discovered that North Idaho's superior environment, food, and security surrounded by more like-minded patriots than anywhere in America. At www.revrealty.us, you can read stories about North Idaho's weather, spring development, growing food, solar, and alternative energy. Additionally, every article has a beautiful quote from the brilliant mind of Thomas Jefferson. We also give you free access to our listings, so feel free to browse our inventory or fill out our short form, and we'll do the searching for you. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Go to 299days.com to learn more. This is our fourth and final segment here at The Voice of the American Redoubt, brought to you by Katie Armor with the soft armor, the hard plate armor, front, back, sides, and free shipping on all their stuff. And they're made right here in the American Redoubt. Check them out at katiearmor.com. I spell Charlie Alpha Tango India Armor.com, C-A-T-I Armor.com. All right. Now, in this segment, let's talk about the other folks that are involved in Hunted. Last week, we talked about Angela and Michelle, this couple that lifelong friends. They said they're not going to try to call home because that would lead them right to us. But then they do anyway, right? Now, they used burner phones and they borrowed phones. They're the ones that went to the KOA campground. Good job. But then they decided, oh, we got to keep moving. We got to keep using phones. So what the hunters are going to do and the analysts, they're going to be tracking your circle of trust. What they discovered was that one of the friends of this woman, Angela, she's got a 13-year-old daughter. And 13-year-old daughter is staying with a friend. So the hunters go to the house to talk to Angela's daughter. This is what in the intelligence community is called a humint source, human intelligence. And they used it all. They used imint, imagery intelligence. They used humint. They used elint, electronics intelligence. They used it all. So this is really cool stuff. So how they used humint is basically another person giving you information. And interrogations falls in to humint. So it is another human that's willing to give you information, or maybe not willing, or inadvertently giving you information. It's coming from another person. So they go. Now, they said, while they're under no obligation to talk to the hunters, the friend agreed to talk to the investigators. Huge problem. The woman who's talking, that's holding your 13-year-old daughter, keeping her safe while you're on the run, you do not agree to let them talk to the 13-year-old daughter, because mistakes are going to happen. And a mistake did happen. A key mistake. They may have discovered this anyway without the 3-year-old girl's testimony, but in interviewing them, she says, so your mom and her friend that are on the run, they're pretty tight, right? They're good friends. I mean, they're part of this girls' club. And the girl goes, mm-hmm, there's 3 of them. Key piece of information. 3 of them? There's 2 of them on the run. What do you mean there's 3 of them in this little girl club group? Who's the 3rd one? Robin. Really? And Robin's not with them, right? Right. Well, they've got this trio of women friends that have been friends since childhood, and they're super tight. Now, this other gal lives in Augusta, Georgia, where these two are, Angela and Michelle, are in the Atlanta area. Where do you think Angela and Michelle are going? Sure enough. So the girl basically dimes out that there's a 3rd one in this tight-knit group of friends. So that's what the investigators focus on. Robin Pierce lives in Augusta. So that's where they started putting their emphasis. They sent a hunter team. Oh, and by the way, once they realized this, they put a full intercept on Robin's phone, the 3rd friend. Basically, at this point, they can hear everything that's being said. It's all being rerouted to the investigation team. So not only are they tracking the phone, its location, but the calls, all the metadata, and the content of the texts and phone messages. So this is what they're listening to. Now, in the meantime, the 2 gals, Angela and Michelle, are being transported by their trucker friend, the family trucker, who is taking them to Augusta. In the meantime, the hunters set up across the street to develop another human source, or an informant. The hunters approach the neighbor across the street from Robin's house, and he agreed to let them set up surveillance equipment so they can watch real-time streaming video of Robin's house from the informant's house across the street in an upstairs bedroom window. And he agrees to call them if he sees anything suspicious. They ask for his cooperation. This is very realistic. Now, they got a TV crew there. This is a chance to get 5 minutes of fame, to be on a TV show. So, yeah, he's agreeing, right? But he's still an informant. He still dimes out his neighbor. Because even if this were a real-world situation, depending on how they sell it, your neighbor wants to help keep his neighborhood safe. And you, being across the street, are not making the neighborhood safe. So they need his help, and he's all too willing to do it. So when they show up, when Robin shows up with the 2 girls that are on the run, they back into the garage, close the garage door, and then get out. Is that going to raise any red flags? How many women do you know who back into their garage? And it's also unusual for someone to pull into their garage, front or back, and wait until the garage doors close before they get out of the vehicle. Not unheard of, but it's not normal. So, sure enough, the informant calls and says, hey, they just showed up. There's 3 individuals. They just backed into the garage and they closed the garage door. So the hunter team rolls up. Well, in the meantime, they've been taken to another friend's salon to help clean up and help her, you know, close up shop. And then this lady was going to take the team to their next destination to hide them. But by this time, Robin was already compromised. They tracked her cell phone right and went right to this beauty salon. They were getting ready to leave. And that's what the hunter team saw them running to the car with backpacks and closed in on them and captured them. So lessons learned. Hope so. The other one, Troy and Shelley. This is an interesting one, and I'm out of time, so what I'm going to do is cover this next week. This was a longer than usual show, from what I understand. I think it was 120 minutes, well, an hour and a half, I believe, or 2 hours. I can't remember. But anyway, I'm going to break it down here, and I'm also, like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I think I'm going to write some articles to post at RadioFreeRedoubt.com, and I think it'd be good material to add to the Going Underground project, the Underground project to add. We're going to talk about Dave and Emily, and we're going to talk about Troy and Shelley and a new team, Arif and Imad. So this is going to be fun. And next week, we've got another couple, new couples going to be injected into the scenario. Lots of lessons learned, isn't there? Pretty cool stuff. You guys liking this? Getting some good positive feedback so far on this, and there is much more. So tune in then. Okay, this is the voice of the American Redoubt. You all have a blessed week. Thank you for your prayers, your support, your encouragement. And thank you to all of our Amron Core operators. You guys are just amazing people. If you're not involved in Amron Core and you're just an Amron member, I would encourage you to take the plunge. There is an awesome support network. We've got the ZNet where they're in continuous contact with each other on a walkie-talkie application. And this is done, you know, you can do this anonymously. There is a support. There is a forum, Amron Core forum, a separate Amron Core website. And we've got some great training exercises coming up that are exclusive to Amron Core. So a lot of growth, a lot of great skills that are being developed, you know, to prepare for disaster, emergency communications. And that's just a great thing to be a part of, and some wonderful people to know, and some great relationships that have been forged from that. And we really, really enjoy that. So, all right, I got the hiccups, so I'm going to roll out of here. All right, God bless. You guys have a great week. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.